access level has recently increased. Excellent. Incoming message.
Welcome, agents, to episode 76 of Behind the Scanner. Your hosts for tonight are Andrew Krug from Virginia and Frank Martinez from California. Our special guest tonight is Matilda Tisberti from Niantic Labs. Joining us for the Weekly Truth is Operation Essex. In for a look inside the scanner is Feb Game. I'm Kelly Colton. Welcome to the show. Join us during the broadcast in our live chat room on our website, BehindTheScanner.com, and click on Chat. The Q&A tool is enabled for tonight's broadcast. Submit your questions throughout the show, and we'll ask as many as time allows. If you know someone who would make a great guest, submit their information to us at BehindTheScanner.com and click on Guest Suggestions. You can subscribe to our channel and watch previous recordings on YouTube, or listen to audio-only episodes on SoundCloud. For all the latest news and updates, follow us on Google+ and Facebook. And now, your hosts of Behind the Scanner.
All right, welcome everybody. It is that time. Must be Thursday since we're here. We got guests, we've got hosts, we've got special guests, we've got a cameraman. So let's just get to it. Welcome to another episode of Behind the Scanner, episode 76. Tonight we have a special guest. We've got Niantic Labs' very own Maddie Matilde coming from Italy live. It's probably, 3 a.m. there? Is that right?
Yes. All right.
Well, I hope you have lots of coffee or tea or something to keep you awake, but thank you for joining us. You know, the show is all about Ingress, and obviously you're kind of a big part of that, especially over in Europe. But before we start asking all the fun Ingress questions, we like to kind of get to know the people a little bit. And today, yesterday, I learned that there's the Isle of Capri and the city of Carpi, which is kind of similar, C-A-R-P-I. Am I the only one that makes a mistake assuming that you're from the island, not the actual city?
Actually, a lot of people make that mistake, and as soon as I tell them I'm from Carpi, everybody is like, oh, you're from that beautiful island in the south. I'm like, no, unfortunately, I am from the mainland, but it's kind of nice over there also.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. What was it like to grow up where you're at? What's life like in Italy compared to the rest of the world? Because you've gone on a lot of travels.
Okay. Well, growing up in Italy is like, I would say, for my town, is a very little town. So you have just like 60,000 people. And life is really like simple. There is nothing really about technology or, I don't know, it's like everything different from the American world, for example, for cars and buildings. It's everything little, and you know everybody over here. And all the schools with all the guys, you know all of them because it's just like a little community. And I really enjoyed that, actually, when I was little. And I grew up only here, and I went in the school in this same city, Carpi. But then I started to go to the university in Modena, which is a little bit bigger city. But it was kind of nice the same. And then I started to move on in Germany for Niantic. But this is a new world, totally new world. Changed everything, I would say.
Very cool. So what most people know, or may not know, I should say, is while you went to the School of Modena, you actually had a pretty interesting major, right? You studied biotechnology. What made you decide to study that?
Actually, I am still studying it. I'm not graduated yet because when I started to work for Niantic, it was, meanwhile, I was at the last year of the graduation. So when I started to work, I was coming back, taking flights to get some exams done, and I'm still doing that. Yeah, I decided to do biotechnology because I like to make people happy and to fix problems. And I really love science as well and technology. So when I started to understand that some people could become able to see again, even if they were blind, or they could use a new arm, a mechanical arm, if they lost it in an accident, that was like freaking me out. So you really improve people's life in better and better with biotechnology. Or the research on cancer is going really well over there. And I thought that is really interesting. And I love life. I love biology. I love whatever is around technology and nanotechnology. So I thought this is for sure my field.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. Somebody's got an echo. Well, we'll figure it out later. You know, one of the things I see a lot is, speaking of biotechnology, is like 3D printed hands and arms and legs. And it's crazy to think that, you know, even 5-10 years ago that you'd be able to print at your house like a replacement for your body and get the code and hook that all up. It's pretty crazy to think.
We're talking also about replacement for your body in terms of organs, for example.
Yeah.
There is the possibility of taking your stem cell and then use them to create a new heart for yourself. So if you get a disease and you have to replace your heart, you could actually create your own heart in a laboratory and not wait for somebody else to give it to you, which is not nice at all. But this needs to be researched a lot. So it's still ongoing, and I think it's really cool.
Can you imagine that, Andrew? Like going into your house and just having spare parts?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Maybe replace my brain. Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask a follow-up question. Is there a specific area of biotech that really, really, really just excites you that you want to focus on?
I really love biomechanical arms, for example, or other parts of the body which you could eventually give to somebody and then connect the nerves, and then they could still feel everything, like the touch, the cold and hot, because there are special skins now you could connect to. But I always think that the best one is research of cancer and the use of stem cells, because they have so much potential and we didn't even discover half of it. So I would love to research in that field, stem cells and tumors.
That's very cool. Very cool. Well, keep us informed as your studies go along so we can celebrate you when you graduate and also follow all the cool things that you do. So.
We'll try.
I have to ask though, in a completely unrelated field, on your LinkedIn profile, because we like to stalk our guests, it listed that you have an interest in medieval and Renaissance, the school of sword, and particularly, I'm going to get his first name wrong, but Achille Morozzo, who was an Italian fencing master.
Yes.
Is there something about swords? Are you handy with a sword? Like, how does this fit into your life?
Okay, so I was just walking throughout my little city once, and I found this little flyer with this school of sword just starting from 1 year. And I always loved whatever was from the past, like medieval ages, the Renaissance, and all the costume, the way they were living, and of course weapons, how they were them defending themselves. And then I found this flyer and I thought, well, that's cool. they're actually doing what I would love to do, try to fence, but not with the very thin sword from the Olympics, which could, you know, flex. I don't really like that thing. I really love the big sword, this thick. And I just went over there, and I found out that in Italy there was big tradition of masters of sword, and they were starting to draw and write all the books of techniques in the medieval ages, but more in the Renaissance period, and try to teach to noblemen how to defend themselves when they are on the street, because why not? Everybody could potentially kill you in the ages. So I started over there, and I really loved it. It really gets everything out of you. You really have to try to improve yourself with more power, more reflex. And once I won the first place of the girls' competition, and it was in all Italy, and it was amazing, with 168 people coming from all over Italy. It was pretty cool. I have to say, it's one of the best sports ever in my life. And we don't only do one sword, but after 1 year in which you learn how to use one sword, you start to use all the other weapons. So one sword and one dagger, one sword and one shield, or the spear, or the buckler, which is a very little shield, just to take out the hit from the other, from the opponent.
I wow, think you're like battle ready.
That's, yeah. So the lesson learned here is that for any of you going to an anomaly over in Europe, make sure you bring your receipt and your ticket to claim your swag pack.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
right.
Don't upset.
Don't get pushy.
Yeah, she'll get medieval on you.
Yeah. So I have to ask, because this is kind of curious to me, what's with the traveling teddy bear? Hashtag Barney Bear.
Oh, Barney. Barney is actually here with me today?
Yes.
Hello, Barney.
Oh, look at that guy.
I received this Barney beer in Hamburg at the last anomaly from Sabrina. She's from the Netherlands. And he's traveling around Europe with all the Enlightened. Sometimes he gets kidnapped by bad resistance guys, but I'm here to protect him. So we are good to go. And he is the successor of Brandon Beer, who was his previous one. And he's traveling with Enlightened guys just to discover, let's say, our favorite places and portals as well, and see around Europe a little bit. Just traveling.
So what happened to Brandon Bear?
Brandon is sticking at the moment with the family of Reveresco, which unfortunately died last month.
Oh.
Yeah. Frank Maxwell.
To the family, actually.
He was a good agent. Frank definitely will be missed.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of traveling, it wasn't too long ago that you were in my home country of the United States, and so I'm curious from a visitor's perspective, maybe, what was something that surprised you on your trip that you didn't expect, and maybe what stood out as the quintessential American thing? Like, that's America.
Okay, I have to say, everything over there seems familiar. Like, I've seen a lot of movies, so when I'm over there, I'm like, hey, I've been already here. What's this? Especially California, around Los Angeles and Hollywood. You're like, okay, I've seen this. What's going on? And then you realize, okay, it's like being in a movie, because I've seen this in a lot of movies, you know? And
that's awesome. I don't think I've ever thought of that, of anyone. That's never that thought of people from foreign countries coming over and recognizing things from movies from never crossed my mind. Like, yeah. I'm familiar with this.
The street, all the cars, the buildings, you're like, okay, I've seen this too many times already. What is going on? But the other thing that is astonishing, in my opinion, is the size of everything. You know, little Italy is everything little, and all the roads are tiny, little, narrow roads, and maybe two cars will fit. You're not really sure about that. Over there, there are like lines of cars, and cars are like three times mine, you know? And then the building is also huge. And if you go in a supermarket, I was in a supermarket just buying some stuff, the bottle of water is huge. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with this one? Or ice creams were huge. Or the potato chips were, it was everything huge. And I was kind of lost over there. And then we went to the restaurant, and also the portion on my plate was huge. I could have eaten it like three times. So this was really astonishing for me. Everything was incredibly big.
Everything here is family size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till you get down to Texas. Did you go to Texas?
Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Yeah.
I've been in California. I've touched Nevada because of Las Vegas. Is that right?
Yeah, I saw you went to the Grand Canyon too, right?
Yeah, the Grand Canyon. And then we went to, I went actually, only me, in Chicago and in New Orleans. But that was 1 year ago.
Very cool. I love New Orleans. I wish I could have got to that anomaly. It's great.
It's magic.
Lots of fun. Lots of big, tall drinks too. So, yeah. All right, well, let's take a break for a moment. I'll let you grab a glass of water or more coffee or whatever you need, and we'll take a brief intermission. We're going to get to the Weekly Truth, the Code of the Show, and some other things. Our Weekly Truth guy actually had to head out for something last minute, so I don't have any story updates for folks, but we do have Fevinus himself, the Fev from Fev Games. He's joining us tonight. He's going to do Inside the Scanner. He's going to let us know, break down any sort of app changes, any game mechanics, new features that came in. So, Fev, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, perfect, man. Yeah, take it away. What's going on?
So, we got some new glyph sequences added to our scanners recently. Let me share my screen here real quick. This will allow me to. All right. So, I think you guys can see what I'm seeing, but this is the post we posted today, and agents started noticing several new glyph sequences inside our scanner, and these aren't necessarily new glyphs to us, but the sequences themselves are new, and some of these glyphs we haven't seen in the scanner before, aside from the grow glyph, which someone mentioned in our comments below you would see in single glyph sequences, like from level 1 or a neutral portal. And all these sequences appear to come from the Johanna and Ada video that we saw and broke down, and Niantic, we posted our own speculations, but Niantic went ahead and put these sequences out here for us, and the ones we're seeing in the scanner today are mirroring a few of these that we're seeing from this video. Aside from that, the only other, actually, I don't think we really have much else, to be honest. It's been kind of a slow week.
Is there anything anticipated? Have you guys seen anything in the handshakes? Is there anything more about what was the translate thing we saw a couple weeks ago, maybe?
I'm not sure which translate thing you're talking about, but
yeah, there was something in the handshake about maybe a translation, like languages or something along those lines. I'm getting old. My memory's failing
me. Me too. I'm in the same boat with you, and I just got off a long day at work. I'm going to say I don't know. I'm sure one of my counterparts can answer that question at a later time, though. Other than that, scanner-wise, APK-wise, handshake-wise, I believe things have been pretty dry lately.
At least this time. You guys just did a summary of all the Ingress for Saturdays, right? So that's all up on your website?
Yeah, all the scores for Ingress for Saturday are posted. You can go out and see those. We have the first anomaly wave results posted as well. So you can go and see those as well. Both of those are posted. All the stats are up. So if you're a stats kind of person, those are very interesting to go through and poke around.
Now, you know, you guys took a little bit of flack for that, because technically, it's the second round of anomaly stats, because the flash shards were,
I know, we call a lot of flack for that in the comments. Tomato, tomato, I don't know.
Technicalities, right. Well, cool, man, as always, it's a pleasure. I'm sure as things heat up and more changes and features come, you'll be back on. For all of you watching, pay attention to febgames.net. FEVGAMES.net, FEVGAMES.net. You can get all your Ingress information there.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. All right. And with that, let's go to my favorite part of the show. Not that the guests aren't. I love our guests. But anytime that I can give things back to the community like this is wonderful. Like magic every week. Bam! Like Vanna White, they appear over my shoulder. I am better looking in an evening gown than she is, by the way. You know what? That would be a good Halloween costume. I should go as Vanna White next year. Yeah. I might have to do that. So there you go. It's the code of the show. Those are limited, redeemable, shareable codes. We don't know if they're good for 50 or 50,000 reshares. I have no idea what you get by redeeming them. Could be a level 1 XMP. Could be a level 8. Maybe an Ada, maybe a Jarvis, maybe an Axa. I'm not really sure. So leave those up there for a couple more seconds. Am I a natural brunette? Yes. Yes, new Nico in our chat room. I am a natural brunette. Although, I've got a natural blonde streak right there. So, everywhere is brunette except for right there. I'm special. I'm two-toned, we call it. It's my racing stripe. Yes.
Fast Andrew right there.
There you go. All right, those are up there long enough. Let's go back to the show. Hopefully she's still with us and hasn't passed out yet. Matilda, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. I was a little scared. We're creeping in on about 3:30 your time. So, all right, Frank, why don't you take it away?
Sure, let's jump into some viewer-submitted questions, because I'm muted.
No, you're not muted. We can hear you. You're good.
You are? Why can't I hear me?
I have no idea. But
okay, never mind. It's not coming through these things.
You're clear.
Let's get to the questions. The very first very serious question comes from a series of letters and numbers, NCC1701R. And they want to know, is it okay to cut their spaghetti if they're not eating them in Italy?
Whoa. I would say...
We're getting technical, but I think it matters.
Never cut spaghetti. Never. It's a no-go. Especially if you have an Italian at your table.
Oh.
If you want to survive, that's not the way you eat your spaghetti, okay?
So anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Try to do the roll with your fork. If you can't, it's all good. You tried. You are forgiven.
What about the slurp? Is that legal or is that a foul?
The slurp?
Legal.
Okay. Fair enough.
What if you have an Italian at your table who took first place in a sword fighting contest and can cut things really well? Could they cut your spaghetti for you?
You are joking, but... we actually got some episodes of, you know, in the School of Sword, we got some international revival with some people from Spain and France and everything. And there was once a time in which there was not such a good atmosphere because people were eating with not an appropriate knife, the steak. We have... all things, all technique, it's like, I don't know, maybe too professional.
Nice. All right. Well, I don't know if this is possible or not, but there might be some people watching who are not entirely familiar with you. So Paul Hatfield wants to know, what is your title and your job description for Niantic Labs?
Okay, so for Niantic Labs, I am an event coordinator. So I try to make sure that your events, your anomaly events, the mission day events, meetups as well, or for Saturdays, are working pretty well. And I am also sort of community manager, not fully community manager, but as soon as somebody needs a contact with Niantic, I try never to say no, you know. I always try to help people whether I can and whether it is permitted to me, because it's also not my job, my role, let's say, but I try to keep this up because I feel like the communication among Niantic and the players is really important, and if I can help just by answering an hangout, even if it's 4 a.m., I will try to do that.
And look, she's smiling. She's up at
3:30
a.m., bright-eyed.
Going the extra mile.
She's here for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good.
So I'd have to say it's probably clear to anyone that follows you on G+, that you travel quite a bit. So Gene C. would like to know, actually would like you to list the three places you would hope to travel to for Ingress in the near future.
Wow, nice question. I've actually been looking forward a lot for Japan. Japan is number one. I would love to go there because everybody coming back, they come with these big eyes and start to tell me amazing stories of their culture, of whether they've seen portals or not. They tell me everything over there is beautiful. You have to try it to understand what is going on over there. So I'm amazed by this. And every time I see pictures from an anomaly, it's actually true. These guys are serious. They get dressed up for the anomaly with cosplayers. I don't know. It's like everything like in a tale, you know? So I definitely want to go there, and then I would say Australia and New Zealand. But these guys are 26 hours away from me by airplane. It's totally the other opposite of the globe from Italy. So it will be really difficult to go there. But I think I might go there spending some time, since it's the other way around, maybe 1 month, it's the appropriate time to stay over there. And the last one, I'd say something like Colombia or Brazil, because I've never been over there. I never touched South America, and I would love to see how's the culture over there. I like to explore, I like to see new places, and this is the place I would love to go and just get an idea how it's going over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've never been to Colombia, but I can definitely vouch for Brazil. Brazil's pretty awesome.
Then here we go. Brazil.
If you ever need a partner to go with you to New Zealand or Australia, I would be happy to do that as well.
So, right?
That's on my bucket list.
Interesting. Yes and no.
All right. Mustafa said is curious to find out, what is your fondest memory of Ingress?
Wow. Of all Ingress, this is a very tough question. Let's say I have two of them. One is during Helios anomaly in Munich. We went outside after the registration, we went to take the group picture. And we were in this park, sort of a park, and we had this huge building behind all the people. And we were kind of wondering, they didn't seem 2,200 people, more or less, but we had registered this number. So what did we miss? And at a certain point, you see the hell of the resistance coming out from the other side of the park and coming to the picture, all together, shouting with the flags, all blue. And it was like, whoa, I got goosebumps all over. And it was amazing. And they were so smiling and so happy, everybody, that it got me such a feeling of I was in the right place in the right moment. That was amazing. The other one, the other one I have, it's a family fact that when I got this tattoo, the Enlightened tattoo, the logo was still on beta. But I didn't know this. I thought, okay, the game is on beta, but the logo, it's the logo, right? But actually, our designers told me that they were not sure whether they would have taken this logo for real or not. But then after they saw that some people started to tattoo them on their skin, they had to say, okay, we'll leave it like this. And this was kind of funny to find out when I met the designers over there in California. And I thought, well, we fixed that for them. If they were undecided, that's done.
There you go. That's one
there
way.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see here. Where are we at?
I got it. I got this.
Oh, yeah.
So something you may not be able to answer, but we'll go for it anyway. Aaron Almedia wants to know, do you have any idea when new portal submissions are going to go live?
Oh, I can't say anything about that. I prefer not to comment.
Fair enough.
That's fine. Okay. If you don't know, you don't know. All right, let's get back to talking about your traveling. So having traveled all over the place, Karen Brown would like to know, what your thoughts are on the Mission Day events. Can you describe them for people who may not be familiar with them, and kind of generally how do they work?
Okay. Mission Day is, let's say, a very neutral day, so there is no faction at all that day. You are green, you are blue, you are just an English player. And we get all together to do a group of missions that we prepare before together with the tourism office. And this is really important to us to prepare it with people which are really prepared on this city, and they take care of giving us some details of the main monuments, churches, buildings, cultural places you could visit if you were just a normal tourist over there. And you get to go to all these places and do a single mission for each monument or church, whether it is. And you get to see stuff, actually. It's just a hacking mission. Maybe sometimes there is a funny question or a cultural question just to get you more on board of the history of this place, maybe. But you just hack, so you get to see in your hands with the portal some details maybe, but at the same time you don't have the rush of an anomaly, so you don't have to fire, you don't have to deploy. Okay, you can also do that, but you just hack to complete your mission, watch around, and get to know a new city. I think it's a really good event, because I've seen a lot of things which I didn't see before. And as soon as you start to play Ingress, you always notice that you've never seen something in your neighborhood, but throughout the portals you actually see it. And this is the place, the perfect place, you can see that again.
Have you, how many have you been to?
Wow. Okay, so I've done, the first one was in Linz, Austria, We have done one in Utrecht. We have done one in Bratislava. We have done one in Hamburg. And my memory fails.
Just basically everywhere. That's okay. Everywhere is an answer.
I actually have a hard time to remember where I've been because I was preparing a lot of them. So when you are preparing them, even if you are just at the computer and not going to Sydney to do it, you know, you feel like you've been over there, but that's not really the meaning. So I've been preparing a lot of them, Russia, but yeah, I think I've been to five, maybe. Yeah, five.
Wow. Very cool. So speaking of missions, what would you say, in your opinion, are some of the better design missions that you've enjoyed completing the most?
Okay. Missions are a difficult topic, I would say. I like challenging missions, but not the type of mission that brings you at the same places, like one A, B, A, B, A, B, like this, because this, I found it quite silly. I like to have a tough mission, like linking and fielding, find some nice passphrase, like decoding as well. That is awesome. But I do really love chain missions. So you have to do one and two and three, and you see that they are all chained. But I have a problem with banners. I get too much anxiety of finishing it. So when you know that you have to do like 54 mission to get all the badges together and have this beautiful picture on your profile, I start it because I like it a lot. But then when I am at mission number two, I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? Why did I start this? Am I able to finish it? Will it be on time? You know, and that's the kind of thing I don't like.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, definitely the best missions ever are the ones in which you have to decode stuff. Especially if there is a media drop, which is something that only us can do. But I believe it's really cool when you get something to decode. And if you don't decode this, you can't get the passphrase. You can't go on. It's beautiful.
Yeah, those are definitely fun. There was one around here for Persepolis. It was, I think, from Hank Johnson, or it involves Anna Moyer's father, and that was a blast to do, to decode everything and find it all out.
It's kind of the same style that you got in San Diego for Mission Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that type of Mission Day got some questions that were more or less difficult on the story of Ingress, and that was really cool. I've made some.
So before I ask you the next question, what does your shirt say? What's the join us? Is that Ingress related?
No, not really. But it says join us here, and then together we can crush the resistance.
Oh, it's that kind of party. I didn't realize we were supposed to wear propaganda to the show. Sorry. Sorry.
It's Star Wars related. I just saw them join us.
You know, this is just Star Wars. I didn't put this on a purpose.
Total coincidence, I'm sure.
Pay no attention to her enlightened tattoo friend.
Right. I know. Right. Total coincidence, I'm sure. I always knew you guys were the dark side.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
We totally are.
Get a double-edged like, although the guy didn't last very long. What was that, Darth Maul? The double-edged lightsaber.
Yeah. Choose your side wisely.
let's go back to talking about your travels a little bit, if we can. How many different countries does your Ingress passport have stamped on it?
Oh God. Okay, that's quite a question. I have been to a lot of them. I think I can start with 30 Magnus. It was the first time that I did an anomaly, and the first one I did it here in Rome. And then I've been actually to Amsterdam in the Netherlands, but that was for an operation which was only enlightened. I was not working for Niantic still. Then I have been to Interitus, Krakow, and Interitus, London. London was actually my first anomaly as Niantic in April 2014. And then I've been to, oh, there was also Recursion in Berlin, so Germany. I've been to Dublin, Prague, and Munich for Helios. And then we got Darsana in Brussels, New Orleans, that was, wow, amazing New Orleans. And Barcelona as well, where we got Oliver Lindewolf, I still remember. Shonin, I got to go in Florence, and I didn't go to Hanover in Germany because I was on vacation in the Maldives, so I was playing over there during Pac-Man, the 1st of April. And then there was Persepolis, Bratislava, and Utrecht. And now there was Hamburg, Abaddon. But during all the meetups, I think I've touched more countries. I've been to Norway, I've been to Portugal, in Porto, Turkey, I've been to Istanbul, and then Bucharest in Romania, different cities in Germany, so Rostock, Frankfurt, Cologne, and Dusseldorf. And then Copenhagen in Denmark. I don't know if I already said that.
A lot. Again, everywhere and a lot.
Yeah, I you know, and this is what I can recall at the moment. Yeah, Linz in Austria for the mission day, the first one we ever made. Oh, Arnhem in the Netherlands. I don't remember.
Let me ask you a follow-up question then. In the EU, in Europe, in the UK, in that area, is mm-hmm. there a city that you haven't been to yet that maybe you want to go to?
In Europe?
In Europe. We talked about the world before, but in Europe.
Let's see. I've been once, but just for one day, and just for vacation. There was no Ingress at the moment in Edinburgh, and I loved it. I must go there for sure. But I think there is also something else that I'm missing.
Is it the Isle of Capri?
Sorry?
Is it the Isle of Capri? Have you?
Yeah, I've never been actually a lot on the east side or in Helsinki, for example. And even if it's not Europe, I'm totally attracted by Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Russia, and all the other countries which are nearby. So Belarus or Ukraine, Lithuania. I really would love to go there because I think it's totally another culture over there, and I love to get in touch with new environments and see how is it going over there, how do you live, what do you do, how do they work, how do they eat, what kind of funny things they do, their hobbies. Yeah, I would love to go there.
We do actually have, I think, I'm looking at my list right now, trying to pull it up. We've got some folks coming up from the Ukraine and places over there coming on BTS in, I think, late December and January. So.
Wow, nice.
Stay tuned for that, yeah.
Very cool. So having traveled, you know, all over the world or all throughout Europe, I mean, it's kind of the nature of Ingress, right, where you just kind of start making friends everywhere you go, and particular in Europe, the way you have. If at all, have recent events affected kind of the way that the Ingress community plays? And by that, I'm talking about what happened in Paris.
Yeah. On behalf of Niantic, I would express our deepest condolences to all Parisian agents. That was really a bad moment. We actually had a moment at the event in which we were like blank brain, you know, when you realize what is happening and you are in the middle of the event and you suddenly realize, and it was really bad. But I've seen the Ingress community as one of the best gaming community ever, because whether there is a tragedy such as the earthquake in Nepal or Charlie Hebdo or this attacks in Paris, the community is just amazing. They have impressive reactions with crowdfunding, supporting each other, and just making a field art, it makes everybody happier and, I don't know, feeling closer. It's like, it's not like a normal gaming community, it's like a family. People like really care about each other and they help each other. And this is totally wonderful. It's something that you don't find in any other community. You could play whatever and never you will find somebody caring with you as much as Ingress players.
Yeah, and actually, there's that echo coming.
Frank, there's
that echo working.
Can't be me, I'm muted.
Oh, it's gone now. All right, just to follow on that, there was I'm going to get the faction wrong. There's a player who went to the Hamburg anomaly and unfortunately got roughed up, to say the least, by some people who, they weren't part of the game, but
yeah,
they beat her up pretty good and took her passport and her wallet and took everything, phone.
Yeah, they took her bag. That was really bad.
Yeah, and she went to, I think it was the airport, right? And they got in touch with some other Ingress players who came and got her and took them back to their apartments and spent the night there, took her back to the airport, got everything, helped her as much as they could. So you see these things in the community, and it's heartwarming, you know, to see all the stuff where, you know, one of our former guests, you know, having the community come together and buy a headstone for his son, or Nicholas Moore in Operation, you know, Semicolon, all these things.
I was actually in the chat of that girl for Hamburg, and it was amazing. In, I don't know, 1 or 2 hours, the guys got back her money for an airplane ticket, and the rest was for her new phone, because we need her to play, right?
Right,
we can't
of course.
Play without
priorities.
Priorities. So she got everything back in a couple of hours. She was like, she was hosted by a guy in Hamburg, so she could rest and get a little bit more comfy. And then she had already a plane ticket booked. And this card with the Samsung thing, it was really amazing. Like 2 hours later, it was done.
Yeah, that's one thing I think about this Ingress community, that they, in general, they don't know how to not go the extra mile, right? And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, it looks like there's a message in our chat room that Tater Bug comes home tomorrow, so that's awesome. Congratulations, Nico. Good for you guys.
Nice.
All right. That's always an interesting one to transition from. So let's go back to talking about some of your travels. So in all of your travels, what are some of the more interesting portals that you've been to? Do you have any, are there any keys that you keep in your key locker for these things?
I actually have some, but after a while I had to renounce of this. I was keeping a lot of keys from the first anomalies, and then I had to leave some of them behind because they were taking too much space. But right now I can start over because of the key locker. So I have some cool portals from Krakow. In the main square, there is like a huge mosque in the middle of the square. This is a portal, and it's really impressive. And you want to totally keep that key to remember that place. It's really suggestive. And then I have the Albert Memorial from London because we made the group picture over there, and I thought it was really nice. And then I have the dome from Utrecht, because it's an amazing structure, very big, and I think it's from the 1800s. I like the style, Gothic style. I don't know if it's Gothic, but it seems so. And other keys. I have a key from a little church in the Maldives that I have made as a portal. So I'm keeping that as a souvenir from my travel. And I have a sign of Bourbon Street in New Orleans as a key, because that street is crazy. And I have too many good souvenirs and feelings about that place. Others. That capsule is actually full, but I don't remember of any of them really. Oh, I have from Bucharest the big People's Building, I think it's called. It's a huge villa that was owned by a governor, but right now there is a parliament over there. And you could actually go inside and watch it all over. It's open. And it's huge. It's just, you can't even imagine how many people could fit over there. And it's in the center of the city. Very elegant. I loved it. It was a nice souvenir.
So changing gears a little bit, and this is probably one of my favorite questions because people either get super animated on this one, usually. But how do you explain Ingress to the non-players in your life, and have you gotten any of your family to play?
Okay, in my family, I am an alien. Whether I talk about or portals or point to captures, they look at me like, yeah, we know you do that stuff. It's fine. It's also your job now. Carry on, it's all good. So I'm the special one, you know?
Absolutely. I think we can all relate.
Yeah, I think everybody can get it really quickly. When I explain it to somebody, it's I have to say it's like geocaching, but not so many people know geocaching. So it's like a giant capture the flag, which surface is the world and not a normal field. And there are these two teams fighting each other to capture as much more territory as possible in the world. And the territory is marked by landmarks. So real-life landmarks are actually this strategic point you could capture, which we call portals. And yeah, then you get into more specific. So we all know it's about capturing mind units, and the mine units are people living in that area, and you have to capture as much more of these points. And it's like,
I think that's about the time that you get the blank stare.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You're just like, wait, what? Right.
That's the moment in which people start to tell me, you're capturing mine unit? Is this legal? And you're like, no, it's all fine, it's just fiction, you know, it's a game. But they start to say, but it's a real landmark, and you're going there to capture it, what is going on? You have always to let them see the application on your phone, otherwise they get really worried, and they start to think, oh, the best way, it's always police. When they see you doing a roundabout like 5 times, they stop you. What the heck are you doing? Nothing. I am here just...
Yeah, that's always a good answer.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Nothing.
Why did you walk this place 5 times up and down? What is going on? And you're always looking at your phone. What is going on? I don't like it. And then you start to tell them about shapers and resistance, and we need to survive and whatever, and they get you into the police station immediately.
I was going to say, have you ended up in the back of a car? Because that story would probably get you there.
No, fortunately, I got to tell them, I was really prepared, I would say, so I was showing them how to play, and then I was trying to convince them to play. So they were like, oh, no, yes, thank you, this is not our thing, you can go, bye.
You can go.
There's a story I'll tell after the show, stick around, about the time when cops rolled up on us, Maddie. So it's not safe for children's ears, though. All right, let's talk about friends. So you're a person who has good friends that are both green and blue. How do you foster positive relations between the two factions?
That's really... Okay. I keep myself really neutral, I would say. And this is not because of my job. It's also because of my job. But I believe that when we are all together doing other things rather than smashing portals, we should be able to get together a beer or get together for a dinner and or a walk and not have any issue. So I really believe in the power of communication. Most of the times when people have conflicts among each other, it's because they don't communicate. And then somebody starts to make his own thought. Maybe he did that because. Why don't you ask him why? This is the first thing I would do if I have a problem with one of my local resistance guys and ask, hey, what is going on? Why did somebody did this action, or why did you react in this way? And then I found the best way to get along with people from the other faction is to do missions together. So seriously, when you do a mission to discover a place, or when you want to do just unique hacks, so unique visits, you just get along really well. You just start to walk together. Nobody is smashing. This is the rule. You just hack portals. You watch around you what is going on, how's the city, how many portals you're hacking. And this is so good to just get together and have a chat and continue to keep it up in a simple way. There is no way you can win trade something like that. There is no way you can, find conflicts. But sometimes I had really hard time to let people understand that I care as much as for the enlightened as much as for the resistance. It's not that if my scanner is green, I don't care about you because you're blue. It kind of it's hard for them, I don't know why, to trust me and or to relieve on me sometimes as a community manager also, but I try to.
You're not carrying one of your big swords around when you talk to them, though, are you?
No.
That might have something to do with it. I don't know. No, okay.
Personally, I think it's the shirt.
No. When the resistance see this shirt, they always tell me, I knew you are the bad guys. So for them, it's like perfect.
Right, it plays with the narrative.
Aliens and shapers.
And flying stars and pew-pew stuff.
Pew-pew, yes.
Very cool. So, question. Tommaso Perotti, Tom Doc, wants to know if you will ever be able to connect Carpi to Shanghai. And what would you do if you'd be successful? I mean, would you quit?
Okay, you have to know that this is a funny story. Since I was acute level 1, my father lives in Shanghai, and when I got my code to play in the beta, I started to play in Shanghai, actually, because I had to go over there the day after. So when I went back, I had keys from some portal over there, and what I said immediately was like, hey guys, I got keys. Let's link to Shanghai from Carpi. And everybody was laughing at me so hard. You can't even reach it with very rare link apps and level 8 portal, you know. It's so far, and there are so many links among us. Not even if it's all clean, you could launch this link. So, yeah, I wouldn't quit, but that would be a good point in my scanner stats.
Would you say that you're still keeping the dream alive?
Yeah, of course. One day there will be an ultra, 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 ultra link camp.
Oh.
And you will see what I'm going to do.
Nice, nice, nice.
Very cool.
What about instead of one solid link, what about doing a couple of smaller links that link Carpi to
chain?
Yeah.
Chain. Would that work?
Like an Indiana Jones path, like.
I like the way you try to cheat this.
You could, in fact, if you did it right, you could actually spell Matilde with the links, right? And they could go
in script. Yeah.
There you go.
That might be complicated, but
we should do that mission.
Okay.
Transcontinental mission.
Of course, nobody watching is resistant, so they won't figure it out as soon as we try it. But
yeah, I know what you're talking about. Well, it's that time for our BTS tradition. For better or worse, we give every guest at the end of their interview 60 seconds to talk about whatever they want or give a shout-out to whoever they want. Whenever you're ready, guest, why don't you start?
Okay. There are a few things to say. First, Resistance, I will never change. Don't try to let me change my faction. This will never happen in my life. But if you need me, I'm here, and I'm open to everything you need. Second is I really work. Sometimes it's really hard to get together everything, all the stuff, when I work on an event. But when I get there and I see all of you smiling, for me, it's such a joy. I can't even tell it to you or express in words. It's one of the best feelings in my life. And I'm really looking forward to see all of you in Milan and next Salon Walis. A special thanks to the fabulous bitches, my enlightened team of friends. And I think I'm done.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Blame Musto and blame Albert always and forever.
Always. Always Musto and Albert.
It's a religion.
Well, thank you, Maddie.
Yeah, thanks, Maddie.
Appreciate you coming on. It was a good time. And actually, I was going to say you could join us next week, but we're not going to have a show next week because it's a holiday here in the States. So.
Yep.
We'll do another special show. Maybe we'll just take the day off and relax.
You guys can take a day off on us. Yeah. Archery.
Exactly.
I got it. I was up till 4 in the morning, so we can do that.
All right. Maybe we'll do the BTS after dark. So.
That's a good idea.
Thank you for hosting me. It was really nice.
You're welcome. Happy hacking, everybody.
Happy hacking.
Happy hacking, man.